Welcome to God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith. I'm your host, Chuck Groover, and this week I pretty much wanted to start looking into the life of Francis of Assisi. Francis was born Giovanni di Pietro di Bernardone, and I'm sure I probably mispronounced most of that name. And what most sources state was 1181 to a prosperous silk merchant by the name of Pietro de Bernardone and his wife Pica de Berlamont. And Pietro was pretty much, since he was in France on business when Francis was born, he basically returned home to find that his wife had actually had Francis baptized under the name Giovanni after John the Baptist. And basically, some sources stated just that because of Pietro's love for France and that he had a prosperous some commercial success on his trip, he started calling him basically their child Francesco. Other sources say that it was because not wanting his son really to be a man of God, but rather a man of business, he took to calling him Francesco, which basically was translated into the French man. But regardless of that, Francis pretty much grew up to live pretty much the life of a typical wealthy young man with loose morals. He partied, drank, got into pretty much all sorts of trouble like that. But he was also one of these likable people that, despite that, no one could really was willing to do much in terms of punishment. But then, around the year 1202, young Francis wanted to become basically a nobleman and a knight, joined up with a military expedition when Assisi actually went to war with Perugia. And it was pretty much in a battle with that war where most of those that were from Assisi were killed, except for those who were of noble blood or basically wealthy enough to be ransomed off. And it was during this time of captivity. He basically spent about a year in captivity before his father was able to pretty much meet the ransom, but it was also around this time that an illness also caused him to start reevaluating his life as well. But his spiritual conversion was actually more of a gradual process than a sudden change like a lot of people. And it really started when he later on went to enlist with another army under Walter the Third, I believe, Count of Brienne, basically for one of the Crusades. And it was actually a day or two into his journey from Assisi to Apulia that he actually received a vision in which afterwards he pretty much returned home, not continuing on his journey to actually enlist with the army. And his return home was, as some sources stated, much in disgrace. He was labeled as being a coward. His father was upset with him because in going to enlist with the army, Francis wanted to have the finest armor and cloak, which they'd saved up for to purchase. So his father kind of was upset with the wasted money, being the businessman that he was. And then later on, it was said during this time of reflection, he was actually in the county chapel of San Damiano, which was pretty much a building that was almost in ruins from the way it sounded, when Francis heard basically Christ speak to him saying, "Repair my church." And what Francis initially took this to mean was to repair the building that he was sitting in, because it was in such disrepair. And he actually went about working to get it repaired, which some sources say he sold some of the silk and stuff that his father owned to fund some of the repairs, which his father took as basically stealing from him. Other sources don't mention that, but do mention that his father didn't really agree with what Francis felt his calling was. And as a result, it led to some conflict between him and his father that eventually went before, I believe it was the bishop in Assisi, where Francis ultimately renounced his inheritance, and upon basically saying it, he said, "Until now," to his father, "until now I have called you my father on earth, but henceforth I can truly say, our Father who art in heaven." And in doing, while doing so, he also stripped himself out of all of his clothes, basically got rid of anything that his father said he could have, that his father would have given him. And the bishop, seeing great faith in Francis, supposedly gave him a cloak, where then Francis went out into the wilderness and prayed. And it was really at this point that Francis also started to give up his worldly possessions and actually started to embrace a life of poverty that many people associate with him. And the exact leading to it and the exact leading towards the founding of the Franciscan order, it's kind of vague among sources, where one source lists one way and then that the order started to come of people starting, basically others seeing what Francis was doing of basically living the life of poverty, the simple life. And all that, and him looking, realizing he needed to set some rules for this order, but then also some sources say that his life of poverty came from the scriptures that he based his rules off of before he even had the followers. And that was after hearing a sermon. Basically, it was pretty much based off of the sermon about Jesus sending out the 12 disciples in the book of Matthew, where it basically talks about, don't take anything with you, don't ask for any money, that sort of thing. And Francis basically took up that call. And regardless of which came first, within a year of pretty much Francis living in poverty, he had 11 followers all willing to basically live that simple life near, in the area there near Assisi, though much of their, even though pretty much their home base was there in Assisi, much of their time was actually spent wandering through the mountainous districts of Umbria, and basically, with the message that they were preaching, they made a deep impression upon the people that heard them. And then by the year 1209, basically Francis had finally created a simple rule for his followers, and that was to basically to follow the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ and walk in his footsteps. And after pretty much coming up with that rule, he eventually decided to head to Rome to basically gain permission from the Pope to create a new religious order around this rule. And basically on April 16th, 1210, is when the Franciscan Order, or the First Franciscan Order, was founded, according to tradition. So there might be some discrepancies as to that date, whether that's the actual date or not. That is the date traditionally held. And then, in the year 1211, hearing Francis preaching, a young noblewoman by the name of Claire of Assisi actually became touched by Francis's preaching, and by the year 1212 on Palm Sunday actually joined with Francis, living the simple life, forming what became kind of known as the Second Franciscan Order, which was the Order of Poor Ladies, of which Claire basically became the head of. This order also later became known as the Poor Clares. And then, in regards to the various Franciscan orders, a third order was actually formed after that, which was actually of both men and women, and it was basically those that were unable to leave their homes, or businesses or whatnot, and it was known as the Third Order of Brothers and Sisters of Penance, which nowadays, from what I read, is known as the Secular Franciscan Order. And these are basically the laity or clergy that basically neither withdrew from the world or took religious vows, but they observed the Franciscan life in pretty much their everyday lives. And pretty much during this time, after the founding of the various orders, Francis did a lot of traveling himself, spreading the gospel and all that. One notable story of that was during one of the Crusades in around the year 1219, where he, along with another friar, went and pretty much in hopes of converting one of the sultans to Christianity, and it was said that they basically crossed the enemy lines and preached the gospel to the sultan, who unfortunately did not convert. And one source said that the sultan actually said, "You almost had me," something along the lines of, "You almost had me convinced to become a Christian, but if I did, we both would die." But one thing that was held in common among the sources that I looked at was that the sultan, though he did not convert, did permit Francis to pretty much leave with his life and escape. And also through this time, the Franciscan order just kept growing. And it was really one of these things that Francis, pretty much realizing that with the order growing, he was not the proper person to really continue leading the order. He did not view himself as being qualified to lead it, and whatnot, so he eventually stepped down from the leadership, placing the leadership into the hands of others. And finally, by the year, and basically in September of 1224, while he was praying, he actually received a vision during which he actually received the stigmata, which was receiving pretty much the wounds, the five wounds of Christ. The two on the wrists, two on the ankles, and then the one in the side from the spear, which all started bleeding. And basically, in trying to recover, somewhat recover from this, and as well as some other illnesses, Francis went to various cities to receive care, but was unable to get back to good health, and eventually, on October 3rd of 1224, he passed away. And pretty much almost 2 years later, in July of, what was recorded, July of 1226, Pope Gregory the Ninth, who, when Francis was alive, was actually a cardinal, and pretty much the cardinal that was, that oversaw some of what was going on with the Franciscan order. So he was almost a close friend of Francis, actually, so knew Francis well, pronounced Francis a saint. So, I know it was kind of quick compared to some of the other story episodes, or history episodes that I've done, but pretty much that is the life of Francis of Assisi, and to an extent, it kind of seems fitting to pretty much be talking about him within the same months that, while I'm still doing a Bible study episode with this podcast, I'm doing ones on basically people in the Bible who exhibited a radical faith, because you could go deeper into looking at Francis's life and just see, after his conversion, the radical faith he actually started living. He was one kind of like Paul. He had everything and gave it up to basically follow Christ as he felt Christ was leading him. Next month, and looking at it, I'm looking at going further into Francis by looking more at his character and his legacy, because to see pretty much how God used his character and his legacy to kind of, and that we still see it a lot today. So, again, this is Chuck Groover with God at, and that was Francis of Assisi, and that was God at Work.
Thank you for listening to God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at God at Work Podcast. If you have comments, suggestions, or a story you would like to be considered for the podcast, you can email us at stories@godatworkpodcast.com. If you enjoy this podcast and want to help support us, go to patreon.com/godatworkpodcast. Or you can also support us by leaving us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith, is brought to you by Becoming God's Man Ministries, and is recorded and produced by me, Chuck Groover. Theme music for God at Work is by the band 39 Stripes, and can be found at facebook.com/39stripes. And again, thank you for listening.